I'm J.O., and I'm so glad that you're here. If you're here for the first time, that was my beautiful wife, emceeing Raydeen, and we're so thankful that you're here at the Post Falls campus. Been going on for about 5-6 months, and today is our very first time for Resurrection Sunday here, and we're pumped, excited about that. I was telling Raydeen this morning, I said, man, I've never missed Resurrection Sunday in Coeur d'Alene. Wow, this feels, our son is preaching there, and it's like, wow, this is different, but it's awesome. And so today I want to talk to you about scars and stripes. Scars and stripes. You know, today is the greatest day in history. What it represents the greatest moment of all time. Today is Jesus Visibility Day. Well, if you ain't seen the news, then you don't know what I'm talking about today. Today is Jesus Visibility Day. That's what it's all about. Jesus. Always has been, always will be. God stepped out of heaven and became a man. Jesus. Fully God, fully man. Ultimately, because, listen, He wants to have a relationship with you. Think about it. He's the creation, the creator, and you're the creation. If you created something, wouldn't you want to have a relationship with that, with them? That's what He wants. He desires that of each of us. This God-man walked on earth 33 and a half years, and He did something, well, pretty much impossible. He never sinned once. That qualified Him to be the greatest ultimate sacrifice of all time for you and I through the crucifixion, which, man, that's a whole story right there, the crucifixion on a cross. I want to let you know today that it wasn't nails that held Him to the cross. It was His love for you. For everyone in this room, He desires to have an intimate relationship with you. One of my favorite preachers, his name is Tony Evans, and he was talking, he shared that Jesus says, it is finished, but He didn't say that He is finished. Jesus has just begun. After He rose from the dead, after He went into the heavens, He's here, and He wants to touch lives. After He rose, after 3 days, guess what He's doing right now? He's seated beside the Father, praying for you, forever making intercession for you and I. Each of us today, we all have a story, I guarantee you. Most of our stories, because I know some of you, pertains to scars and stripes and pain, some of addiction, suffering, divorce, trauma, molestation, poverty, abandonment, loss, all these different things that we are faced with. Jesus met people when He walked on earth, just like you and I, that had serious scars. My son and I was at my house Friday, and his son, my grandson, his name is Jameson, he got really close to our fireplace. It's one of those stoves inside a fireplace that gets really hot. And Seth grabbed him because he didn't want him to get burned. And I pulled Jameson aside, and I said, Jameson, you see these scars on Poppy? I said, that's what happens when you get burned. As a little boy, my pacifier fell on you remember those old floor registers, and just fried my hand. Well, I carry that scar to this day. And a lot of us have scars. Sometimes we have scars that's on the inside. Sometimes we have scars that are on the outside. Sometimes our scars, though they're healed, they still create pain. But God wants to use your scars for a whole different reason when you come to know Him. I think about people like Zacchaeus, how he was very, very short, and how he was a chief tax collector, how he took advantage of people. And the scars he probably was faced with, but Jesus went and spoke to him in that sycamore tree, and just having a conversation with him, how it changed his heart. but the scars that he probably carried. I think about Lazarus. Jesus actually waited for him to die before he went to the tomb. So he's there. After 3 days, the body starts, you know, not doing good, decompensating, and so forth and so on. And Jesus raises him from the dead. But I can only imagine the scars that Lazarus lived with, being dead. Think about that for a minute. You were dead, bro. The scars, the emotional damage that could do. I think about Mary Magdalene that had 7 demons that Jesus cast out. Though she may have had demons cast out of her, I guarantee you she dealt with pain and scars. Some think she was a prostitute. That's not proven, but I don't know. And then Peter denies Jesus 3 times. But in Luke, on the third rooster crow, Jesus locked eyes at that moment when Peter denied him. He looked at him. Can you imagine the scar from that? Blind Bartimaeus, son of David, have mercy upon me. They try to shut him down. Hey, be quiet. Jesus don't want to have anything to do with you. That dude just got louder. Son of David! And that shout stopped Jesus right in his footsteps. Brought him over and Jesus healed him. Though he was healed of being blind, can you imagine the scars that he carried from being blind all of his life, probably a beggar, homeless, and so forth and so on. And you have the woman with the issue of blood, 12 years, spent all she had and grew worse. Touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and she was healed. She was healed of the blood flow, but I guarantee you, from 12 years of being that way, she was hurting. She had some scars. What's your story today? Well, J.O., I have had a good life with little problems. Well, Jesus even dealt with rich people and so forth and so on. But most people that I come across have drama, tragedies, and scars in their life. No matter what your story is, here's the deal. We all need a Savior. Every one of us needs to say, you may have come to Easter gathering today and you don't know you need his. I got news for you. Every one of us needs a Savior, one that we look to, who's going to provide for us the strength of our life, our Heavenly Father, our Creator. He wants to be your Savior. And by the way, we need a Savior because we've all sinned. The world says you're good. You're nice. You're cute. You're good. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we've all sinned. The Bible says that our hearts are jacked up, deceptively wicked, evil. And I know we don't like that news, but the good news is that Jesus can change all of that. But you can't change it on your own. That's why we need a Savior. God created us, and He desires to have this relationship with us, but sin separated us all the way back. Adam and Eve in the garden, they chose to sin. And since that day, we live in a fallen world and we've been separated from God. But Jesus, this hero, at just the right time, steps out of heaven, walks on earth, never sinning, died for you and I's sins so that we could have this relationship once again restored to God, have an abundant life. We can have this free gift. Somebody say free gift. Free gift. Opposite of religion. Jesus wants to give you a free gift today of eternal life. Today, I think, is a very special day for some of you because many of you, I think, will step out of darkness into life, out of fear, into faith, out of hopelessness, into light and life and a relationship with God. I think about... We have a minister on staff. His name is Logan. He's with us a lot of times. Well, 8 years ago on Easter, he got radically saved. He came in weighing, I think, 98 pounds, heroin, so forth and so on. You wouldn't even recognize him. And now he's probably 100 pounds heavier, and he's beautiful. He's got a wonderful wife, 2 beautiful little girls. On staff, that dude had been in jail. He was sideways. Well, how does a person change themselves? They don't change themselves. Jesus transforms us. He metamorphoses us. The power of the Holy Spirit. We're earthen vessels, but there's a treasure that lives inside of you. When you become born again, that treasure is Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, that changes us from the inside out. He transforms us. Your life can drastically be changed today. You can leave here forgiven. You can leave here a brand new creation, having a second chance. The Bible says being born again, being a son or daughter in relationship with your Heavenly Father, destined for heaven and not hell, which is both very real places, all because of what Jesus has done for you and I.
What's my problem?
Yeah.
Oh, good, good, yeah. Definitely grab a drink, because that's what you need right now.
You have no idea the kind of day that I just had.
I have no idea.
Seriously?
The second you wake up, you drink. You drink when you get home. You have no idea what it's like to be.
Why don't you just back off?
Go! Get out of here!
Tell myself I'm a little too hard to say. Tired of waking up in my own grave. Bottles and Bibles, knees in my bed.
Says something in the beginning of that song that's very, it's easy to slip by. I want to read it. He said, I didn't ask for the scars that I've been given. That's the price of someone else's sinning. That happens a lot in life. Someone else's sinning creates scars in our life and can even create a domino effect of sin in our life. Many stories consist of scars. I know mine does. Maybe like this one, dysfunctional family, broken marriages, tragedy, abuse, murder, DUIs, accidents, even accidents. You know, the definition of sin is literally this. It's an archery term. Pull back, shoot the arrow, and you miss the bullseye. So it doesn't have to be all this terrible, an accident could be sin. A rape, an overdose, all these different things happen to us in the society we live in. And some of this has happened to some of you in this room. I want to let you know today, feel me on this, is that Jesus knows exactly how you feel. Think about that for a moment. The God of the universe stepped out in a human body, went through everything that we go through, tested and tempted in all ways. He knows exactly how you feel and how it was in that moment. Jesus was scarred. Why? Because to feel your pain. He was striped and beaten. He felt the pain when you were molested. He went through all those different things so that you could be healed. He knows what murder feels like, all the madness. Jesus, the Bible says, listen to this, it's pretty radical. Jesus, God of the universe, became sin for you and I. Listen to these scriptures today. One scripture, two translations. It says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become," look, "the righteousness of God in him." You can be fully righteous, never on yourself, but because of what Jesus did, you can be righteous and holy before this God. And that's the only way we can approach God, is being holy, because he's a holy God. That's what's so amazing about Jesus, is because he took on our sin. He became sin so that we can go into the presence of God. Listen to this translation. "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." You can be right with God today. You can know that you're going to heaven. You can know that you are in right standings with the Father. Never because of your word. This is a huge difference between religiosity and Christianity, is that Jesus did it all, and all you do is receive a free gift. In religion, whatever religion it is, there's works involved. But check this out. In Christianity, he's your Father, and he's done everything for us. We receive it. It's actually too good to be true, but it's true. It's amazing. The song she's saying, she says, because the name of the song is "Drunk Again." And though she struggled, and though she went to church because of tragedy, dysfunctional family, she found herself drunk again, and she says these words in the song. She says, "Some call it a habit, some call it a sin, some call it a pattern. I don't know where this ends." Well, to be clear, I'm not picking on habit, yeah, of course, and pattern. I get that. We look for those things. But to be clear, the Bible calls it a sin. Okay, this, it's important to call it what the Bible calls it, because I can tell you when you realize it's not just like, oh, I'm just, you know, kind of making a couple of bad choices, a mistake. When you realize that you're a sinner, you can receive some amazing news, and your life can be forever changed, because she says, "I don't know where this is going to end." I can tell you where it can end. It can end when Jesus enters your life as Savior, but not just Savior, as Lord. Say that with me, Lord. We don't use that term in America. We don't go around, oh, he's Lord, he's Lord. No, when he's Lord, whenever, listen, when Jesus is your king, when he's your, this is what Lord means, master, when he's your supreme authority, when he's the boss, When he rules your life and you don't rule your own, when you get off the throne and you let him on the throne of your life, he's not just a savior. We need a savior. I need a lifeline. But I also need a Lord, a master, because I'll jack my own life up. I can be my worst enemy like a lot of you in this room. But that's where American Christianity can miss it. Oh, he saved me. I'm going to heaven. Yeah, but is he Lord? When he's your Lord, things radically change. Listen to what Jesus did for you and I. Isaiah 53, 3 through 5. This is a prophecy spoken around 700 years before Jesus ever did it. Now, Jesus, don't be deceived. Jesus has always been with us. He was in the beginning. Let us make man in our image. Jesus is always just the hero, just at some point decided to step out of heaven. You feeling me? Okay. But this was prophesied around 700 years before Jesus walked on earth. I mean, there's so many prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament, the Psalms and the Proverbs. I mean, it's phenomenal, because for it to really happen, it would take a supernatural miracle, which it did, and that's why he fulfilled all these prophecies. Here's one of the prophecies, Isaiah 53, 3 through 5. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. This is the God of the universe. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Cheryl, in the very beginning, says, hey, I feel like God wants to heal. Why can we do that? Why can we believe for healing? Because by his stripes, you were healed. He already paid the price for your healing and for your sins and for your salvation. You know, Jesus did it all. He did all of this for us. I heard folks say, well, the Jews crucified Jesus. No. I crucified Jesus. You crucified Jesus. Every Gentile, every Jew, every nation, every country, every Catholic, every charismatic, every Christian, every human called, ever been born, crucify Jesus. Well, yeah, I wasn't there. Your sin was there. Your sin was there. All of our sin is what put Jesus on the cross. Jesus' life wasn't taken from him. He could call down 10,000 angels. Jesus laid his life down. You ever hear the songs that we sing? We sing, poured out his blood. His blood wasn't spilt. His blood wasn't, no. He poured out his blood because he chose to lay his life down for you and I. And he did all this in the name of love.
One person is dead after this crash. One other person was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries.
You have no idea. the kind of day that I just had?
I have no idea.
Seriously?
I can drink up. You drink. You drink when you get home. You have no idea what it's like to be.
Why don't you just back off?
Go.
Every time I walk out of the house, put on another face just to blend in with the crowd so nobody sees me. You would never believe me. I tell you that I'm whole, but I'm still healing. I tell you that I'm happy, but I'm grieving. Thought I was a fighter. I'm still in the fight. But if I'm being not being honest, I'll give you roses just hoping you don't see the weeds in my garden. If I'm being honest, I'm in my darkest. I'm sitting here waiting, praying for someone to show me what love is. I'm just being honest. I'm just being honest. Every time I'm past the hardest part, here comes another ghost just to pull me through the dark. I thought it was over. God, let this be over. Am I being honest? I'm not being honest. Oh, I'll give you roses just hoping you don't see the weeds in my garden. Oh, if I'm being honest, I'm in my dark.
You know, the name of that song is Honest. And if I was honest, I would tell you that that really triggers me. Because my mom and dad were killed in a car wreck. And then at 17, I went to a wreck. My sister was beside the road dead, 3 months pregnant. And if I'm being honest, I really didn't want to do that video, but it was already done. And I go, I'm just going to step out because I still carry scars. I still get triggered. When a person believes on Jesus Christ, they're born again, they're saved. Does that mean that we are immune to pain and suffering and scars? No, it doesn't. If you're a Christian, you know that. I'm being honest today. I've been walking with the Lord. My first 2 years really struggled, but for 38 years. My wife and I have been in ministry for almost 34. And I've seen a lot of Christians suffer. I've seen a lot of people go through pain. My wife has 3 major scars on her body. She's got other scars inside that we won't discuss. But the main 3 scars she has on her body, one is right here on her throat, cancer, thyroid. One on her arm. I watched them remove this off her arm. Cancer, skin cancer. And she's got a scar on her breast. Battled cancer 3 times. If you battle cancer, you know who you should get to pray for you? Is my wife. She has great authority in that area. It's like, hey, if you deal with cancer, go to her. If you deal with losing your mind, anxiety, panic, depression, come to me. You wouldn't believe the people that come to me because of anxiety, depression, panic attacks, because I lived it. And I can really walk with people and help them. I think I have authority in that area, but Raydeen has authority in that area. Why? Because we carry scars. We've seen miscarriages. We've seen people, we pray and seen people lose loved ones. But we also have seen many people healed. Amazingly healed. Like miraculously healed. With Jesus, he gives us great hope, because we can have his strength. Like if you're in trouble, guess what? He's in the midst of your trouble. He's a very present help in trouble. The Holy Spirit's there to comfort us. He's there to help us. Jesus will stand up inside of you. For the believer, we pass from life into another life, eternal life. I mean, it's amazing, great news. I wouldn't choose it any other way. And today, I hope that you make a choice for Jesus, because the thing about it, you may go through something. He didn't never say we wouldn't go through stuff. He never said that we wouldn't go through pain, but he did promise that he would always be with us in the midst of it. You just have to recognize it and lean into it. He will always be with you. He said he would never leave us, or he would never forsake us. Nothing will separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He did promise he would be with you. I want you to listen to the scripture today. Sometimes it's like he pulls us out of the fire. And sometimes it's like he makes you kind of fireproof or something. Because sometimes we walk right through the fire. Listen to Isaiah 43, 1 through 3 today. It says, but now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. What's that mean, redeemed? That means that when you come to be a believer, he buys you. He pays the full price for your sin and for your salvation. I've called you by your name. If you wonder if God knows you, he doesn't just know you. He knows you by your name, and your hairs are numbered. You're like, how could anyone ever do that? Well, it's easy. His ways are not your ways. His thoughts are not your thoughts. He is so awesome and so mighty, so powerful, he'll blow you away. We have this little minute little brain, and he's awesome. He can do these things. He goes on to say, you are mine. When you pass through, somebody say through. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, listen, your Savior.
You saw me first.
I have no idea.
You let me in when I was unknown. The moment when I heard you say my name, it's the first time in so long I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. And you are the voice that calms the storm inside me, cast the walls that stand around me. All this time my guardian was me. You are the light that shines in every tunnel. There in the past, you'll be there tomorrow. All my life, your love was breaking through.
One person is dead after this crash.
it's always been you. My northern star, your love will be the compass of my heart. Oh, I just wanna be right where you are. The storm inside me, castle walls that stand around me. All this time, my guardian was you, and you are the light that shines in every tunnel. There in the past, you'll be there tomorrow. All my life, your love was breaking through. It's always been here.
What a beautiful true song. It's always been him. He's always been there. Think about your very worst moment. Even if you're here and you don't know Christ, in your very worst moment, he's still there. As a believer, he's been there. I don't know why bad things always happen at times to good people, but we do live in a fallen world, and there's a devil who steals, kills, and destroys, and he's very good at it. But the good news is that Jesus wants to save us. He wants to give you eternal life. He wants you to receive forgiveness. Transform your life today. Today is all about Resurrection Sunday. He wants to resurrect your life. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is able to resurrect your life today. He's always been there. Even whenever I was going through my scars that impacted me viciously to this day, I was 8 years old when my parents died. I was 17 when my sister died. You talking about drunk again? That's what I did forever after my sister. I went to college, got kicked out for 10 days, and then I got kicked out forever because I was drunk again. In jail, drunk again. 18th birthday in jail, drunk again. Whatever your sin is today, whatever your pattern is, whatever your struggle is, you want to know what sets you free of that? Is yes, Savior. He'll throw the lifeline to you. But things change when he's your Lord. When it's not about you any longer. When it's like, I'm all in. You see, Jesus, listen to me real good. Jesus went all in for you. He didn't hold back nothing. He says, I love them so much. I value them so much. I'm not just going to talk about it. I'm going to die for them. And for your sin, he held back nothing so that you could be forgiven and you could have eternal life. And I think because of that, it demands the same response from you and I. You have to go all in. There's no in-betweens. There's no gray. Listen to this scripture. It says this in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. I want you to focus on the most important. This is what stands out to me in this scripture. Most important. It says, I passed on to you what was most important. Will you say that with me, most important? This is Paul. Paul, who I think lived as a Christian, tormented. Why would he live? Because of what he did to Christians before he became born again. I think Paul lived with scars. I think Paul struggled. But I tell you what, Paul also went all in. I pass on to you what was most important. What's most important? And it goes on to say, of what had been passed on to me, Christ died. That's most important. For our sins. Just as the scripture said, he was buried. That's most important. And he was raised from the dead. Most important on the third day. Just as the scripture said. Jesus gave it all. He left nothing on the table for you and I because he loves us. He desires to know you and for you to have eternal life and paradise. And there's people in this room today. How do I know, J.O.? Because in a group this way, there always is that you need to get your life right with Christ. Maybe you received a savior, a life ring before. He saved you in a moment. And you may have your get to heaven pass, but Jesus is so much more than that. He wants you to walk with him every day. Imagine having a son or daughter that doesn't talk to you, that doesn't care about you, that doesn't love you. That's crazy. It happens. God doesn't want that with you and him. He wants to be your dad, your father. Well, J.O., how do I have this relationship with God? Well, because he's done everything for us. You simply believe. You receive. That's what John 1:12 says. If you believe on him, you receive. You'll become children of God. Romans 10 says if you confess him as Lord, you will be saved. He did all the heavy lifting. And I want to pray with you today. Not just a savior. Erase that for a moment. We need that. And I'm thankful that he's a savior. But I felt like God challenged me to challenge you to be all in as Lord. We saw 26 people do this last night. And he wants to do that here today. Would you bow your head with me? Would you pray with me? Would you quit playing games with God? Well, J.O., I'm 60 years old and I know better. If you ain't walking with Jesus, I'm sorry, you don't know better. You don't. Pray with me right now to get right with Jesus. If you're a believer, pray this with me too. I think it might encourage someone beside you. Say this with me. Jesus, I'm tired of playing games. I need you desperately in my life. I'm asking that you forgive me of my sins. I am so sorry. And I ask you, Jesus, today, I need that lifeline. Save me. But more than that, Jesus, I need you to be my master, my king, my God, and my Lord. So today, I do believe and I receive the free gift of salvation. Today, Jesus, I declare you the Lord of my life. As you went all for me, I go all in for you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you that I'm forgiven. Thank you that I'm born again. I love you. With your head bowed, I want to do something. I think it sometimes encourages and gives people great courage to do it together. On a count of three, if you said that prayer, maybe for the first time, or maybe you've been a prodigal and you're coming back, and today is your day. You said it and you meant it.